Hey, this is Ryan from Souls and Any Good. Thank you so much for listening to the Movie Nerds podcast. This is episode 6, and tonight we're going to talk about the new Stephen King's It remake, Spider-Man Homecoming and the new trailer, and the new Universal Pictures Mummy remake. We're going to cast this, Joss Whedon's Batgirl, and maybe we'll go through one more crazy theory of the week by yours truly. Last but not least, we're going to do the movie challenge. I'm Ryan.
I'm Draz.
I'm Jared.
I'm Scott.
I'm Toby.
And this is Souls and Any Good's Movie Nerds. So tonight we've got two new members to the podcast and two new faces to any kind of video material that we do. And that is Toby and that is Draz. Draz loves his collectibles. He's going to be doing an awesome show on our YouTube channel very shortly. We'll keep that under wraps until we've got it going. And Toby is a person that I used to be in a band with. We both love movies and now we always talk movies. So may as well be on the site talking movies together. Toby, give us your top three movies of all time.
Top three movies of all time. That would be The Departed, The Crow, and don't judge me on this, Armageddon.
No one's judging on Armageddon, mate. That is a great movie. I really love that movie, and it upsets me every time people say Armageddon is horrible. I'll accept Pearl Harbor as being horrible as a Michael Bay movie, but Armageddon is not.
I love Armageddon. It's so good.
All right, and Draz, what about you, man? Top three movies of all time.
Top three movies. I would have to narrow it down to four. I can't really go top three. I would have to say Lost Boys. I would have to say Gremlins. Gremlins 1 and 2 mashed together because it's... I love it. The Goonies, of course. And rounding off the four movies that I love, The Monster Squad, of course. Come on, man. Monster Squad, best ever.
Wow.
So yeah, they're my top four, sorry. Couldn't do three.
There was no Star Wars in there. I'm shocked by this. I don't know why. I feel like every one of us on the site, except you two, have picked Star Wars in our top three somewhere. Now, Draz, you love collecting and stuff. Your house is full of collectibles, movie memorabilia. What is your prized possession? Give us a little bit of a lowdown on what you like to collect.
Prized possession. So currently I have my own man cave. I've got 14 cabinets going around my room. Jack pack full of custom statues, figures, you name it, I have it. Look, if I had to narrow it down for my favorite collectible of all time, I would have to say it's my custom 1-to-1 scale bust from The Lost Boys, David, played by Kiefer Sutherland. It has silicone skin, punched hair, glass eyes, and porcelain teeth. It screams, I'm alive, I'm going to come bite you, and I'm going to kill you. Sounds good to me, I love it.
Do you secretly look at that at night and go, Keith, that you're in my room with me, I love you?
No, I usually try to make out with Slimer, but I can actually fit my whole head in its mouth, so it's a bit...
That's not a nice thing to call your girlfriend.
All right, let's not go there. So let's move on to the first bit of news. Now, this week I wanted to talk straight off the bat. I wanted to jump into the new Stephen King's reboot of It. The trailer launched last week. It's coming out in September. The trailer for me looked bloody awesome. It's terrifying. It's about a clown. Who doesn't hate clowns? I hate them more than anything, especially when they've got fangs and possibly stabbing weapons. What'd you guys think of the trailer? Let's hit up Draz first, because I know you love your horror movies.
I loved it. I thought it was a great take, you know, especially, how many years ago was it? Like
1990, the original came out.
Jesus. So it's
27 years.
27 years.
Yep. You're that old.
Oh, man. What's his name? Bill Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård, yeah.
I think he really tackles Tim Curry's role perfectly as It. I don't know, man. I was scared. It just enticed me watching it. I was just like, just the audio and everything. It was so good. What did you think, Toby?
Man, I think I was like kind of chatting to Ryan about this the other day about horror movies. I can't really do horror movies, especially ones that kind of delve into like the supernatural stuff, which is what I feel like It kind of has going for it as well. And they just creep me out. There was just so much, no, I don't want any part of this happening.
It is a creature of not of this universe. It's not a ghost or anything.
It's a demon.
Yeah, it's a beast that takes a form of your fear.
Yeah.
And it is not from this universe. So... It's not a ghost movie or something, if that's what you're worried about.
No, not so much a ghost movie. Like, I can do the ghost movies, just supernatural stuff. Like, things that just kind of screw with your head. I just can't do it.
Fair enough. What do you think, Jared?
I thought the trailer was awesome. It sets the mood perfectly, and
It seems like they're hitting all the big sort of scenes from the book and then the miniseries that the fans love. So I'm quietly optimistic. I think it's going to be a good one. And from the response so far, it seems like it's going to be a massive hit if all the people that watch the trailer go see the movie.
Yeah, well, it's now the most watched trailer of all time. So that's pretty cool. I'm all for it.
Really?
Yeah, 197 million hits in 24 hours.
Cool.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Now, Scoot, you religiously hate horror movies. What do you think of the trailer?
I think it looks effectively creepy, but I think the thing that really sells it to me, and that's, I think, what interests me, or I guess, around it as a film, is the kind of like the you know, the kids sequel, like the Goonies-esque, you know, Kids Club, Losers Club, I think it is within it.
Oh, man. So much.
And, like, they've got Mike from Stranger Things playing one of these roles, so that's... And I read all this interesting stuff, like the Duffer Brothers really wanted to make this film themselves, and then they said, whoever's making this said, no, you guys aren't famous enough, so they went off and made Stranger Things. and I guess the Mike character is not the only one that stayed left of that original cast, because originally Will Poulter from where the Millers was playing Pennywise and a whole bunch of things. Right. But I guess, you know, they've changed quite a bit. But it, like, this trailer was super effective. It deserves all the hits it gets. I think it's an awesome trailer. I really hope that the film does really well for them, because they've kind of set themselves up incredibly well. I think it's crazy that, you know, that original film, you know, freaked out so many people, or miniseries freaked out so many people. And that's the thing. It was like a made-for-TV miniseries. This is the kind of the real first time we're kind of getting a big budget sequel, and I'm assuming we're getting a sequel where, you know, the characters are all grown up and battling it.
Yeah, well, this is meant to be a part one, and it was originally titled as The Losers Club. It The Losers Club Part One. So I'm assuming the sequel was obviously going to touch on the adults.
I'm glad they changed the title.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think many people know it as that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved the 1990s movie. And if you haven't watched it, or the review I did for it, I highly recommend. I highly recommend rewatching it, because it's just as good as it was when I was a kid. Some of the special effects obviously don't hold up, but Pennywise and Tim Curry's performance of Pennywise is probably unbelievable.
Amen.
Who isn't dead?
Yes, Toby has made many comments this week about Tim Curry actually being dead, and I had to reassure him that he is still well alive, but closer probably to being dead, I guess, because he's had a stroke recently and isn't looking the best, unfortunately.
He's still going to a con in a few months over in Toronto.
He's wheelchair-bound,
which is going to be good
still
for the Rocky Horror anniversary.
Yep.
Majority of the cast going to get involved. Meatloaf's going to be there, as well as Barry Boswick, and they're going to be signing autos, so that's going to be pretty cool. Going to get a vinyl signed by the whole cast, minus Susan Sarandon, but maybe one day. Damn it, Janet.
So this is the part of the news story where each of us will go through and give the news topic a yes or a no. I'm going to give this a big fat yes, because I absolutely cannot wait for it. What about you, Draz?
Oh, a ginormous yes. I cannot wait to be scared out of my pants.
What about you, Jared?
I'm a definite yes. I don't really like horror movies, but I'll be lining up to get my ticket.
Scooter McGavin?
Yeah, definitely yes. Super effective trailer. Knocks out of the park.
Toby Trice?
I'm 100% going to say yes. I have to watch it at least once.
You may be shielded behind your girlfriend's arms, but at least you'll see part of the movie.
Yeah, and I'll have to watch it during the day, so at least I know I have lots of time to watch cartoons afterwards.
So basically you're like a 6-year-old boy. No worries. Let's move on to Spider-Man Homecoming. So a new trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming came out this week. It's a little bit more action-packed. It's got a little less Iron Man, and a little bit more Tom Holland. I almost called him Tobey Maguire. Let's not forget about those movies. Amazing. And what do you guys think? Jared, jump in.
I thought it was pretty good. It didn't really, except for more Michael Keaton, it really didn't tell me much more about the story. I like Tom Holland in the role. I like the fact that Iron Man is there as sort of a mentor. I don't really know Vulture as a character, so I'm not sure how Keaton is doing. But, yeah.
He looks the part. That's about as far as you can see from the trailer.
One of the things I found interesting about the trailer was that it seems like Tony Stark is actually taking on the Uncle Ben role, especially going so far as saying, you know, who are you without the suit kind of thing. Is like, it's very reminiscent of the line, with great power comes great responsibility. So It feels like Tony Stark is really trying to be that father figure to Tom Holland.
Ooh.
As what Uncle Ben was in the previous incarnations.
That's an interesting thought. Imagine if that led to the death of Tony Stark by gunshot. All right, well, let's move on to Scooter McGavin. What did you think of Spider-Man?
I didn't think this trailer was anywhere near as effective as the first one. And I actually thought this trailer, opposite of what Jared thought, I thought this gave away way too much. I feel like I know every beat of this movie based on this trailer. I think there's a setup and there's ultimately he has to prove his point, getting his suit back, all that stuff. And I also, I thought the first trailer did a really cool job setting up, the high school scene, had the MGM team, song. I thought the first trailer was awesome. This one maybe was less playful, a bit more serious. But, yeah, this was nowhere near as strong as that first one, I thought. And I definitely thought they kind of showed off too much. But I'm okay with the Tony Stark and potentially the Uncle Ben role. But I feel like based on the trailer, he'll show up at the start, say, you didn't deserve to be wearing the suit. And then Spidey will spend the rest of the film trying to prove himself to Tony and the Avengers. So maybe he'll kind of bookend the film, but we'll see. I'm still keen on the film. I just don't think it was as strong a trailer as the first one.
Drastic.
I haven't really seen the new trailer yet, but what stands out for me is Marissa Tomei. She's looking very sexy as Aunt May. It's good to finally get an attractive Aunt May in the.
But she's meant to be an old woman. What were you trying to look for in an Aunt May? What sets Drasik off in an Aunt May universe? You were all for when you heard that Sally Field Aunt May spin-off movie. You're like, holy shit, man! This is all Sally my dreams. Field. This is going to be the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
She always had it going on when she was Gidget, and then she gradually got older and matured like a fine wine. I would say the same thing with Marissa. She looks good, man. I think she looks good with the glasses and.
All right, moving on.
She could be my Aunt May anytime.
All right, no worries. All right, Spider-Man, keep that in your pants. All right, for me, I didn't love the trailer. I agree with Scott's points that it was a bit of a nothing trailer. I don't know if it showed off too much. I think there's still a little bit we can see, but I didn't think it was as fun as the original. That's what I was hoping for with this whole movie, that it wasn't so dark and wasn't so moody, and they would have this whole comedic side to Spider-Man, and that trailer definitely didn't show that off as much as the first one did. And I only laughed once or twice, and it was probably because of his friend, who I still don't think is playing who the IMDb page says he's playing. And that's my theories of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Does anybody happen to know the runtime of the movie at all?
Yes, it's 136 minutes. No one knows the runtime.
I didn't know if that actually released it yet, that's all, because it seems like it feels like there's a lot to cram in to something that could be just over 2 hours or under 2 hours.
Well, it's a Sony movie. It's probably going to go for 4.5.
Like with everything that they're going for in the trailer, it just feels like there's a lot to cram in.
Yeah, but they don't have to do an origin story. They've said they're not doing that, so you just have a Spider-Man adventure. But
with Vulture and Shocker and the whole Iron Man thing and everything else,
then you got all the high school stuff as well.
I think that you'll find that the secondary villains, won't be anywhere near as prominent, even as in Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think that it'll kind of be, I reckon Shocker will be how Rhino was in Amazing Spider-Man 2, a brief sequence here and there. I don't think there'll be any kind of key villain.
Yep. Shocker is a very much a B character.
Yeah. And Tinker Man or something like that. Someone else.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry, but I'm pretty sure Michael Keaton's going to be a main villain, and that's going to be the, main talking point of the movie. So Spider-Man Homecoming, yes or no? I'm going to give the trailer a no, but I'm bloody excited about the movie nonetheless. So the movie, I would give a yes. Jared, what do you think?
I'll give it a yes. I didn't hate the trailer and I'm excited to see the film.
Scott?
Yeah, no on the trailer, but I'm still excited to see the film. I just thought the first trailer was better.
I agree. Draz?
Yeah, definitely. I'm quite excited. I love Spider-Man, so I'm looking forward to that. And I wonder what Stan Lee's going to pop up in this movie, what his cameo is going to be. So it's going to be exciting.
A gravestone.
Oh, not Stan. He has to live forever. I love you, Stan.
And Toby, what do you think? Yes or no for Spider-Man?
I'm going to say no.
No for the trailer or no for the movie in general?
I was excited when the first trailer came out. I was really excited. But then when the second trailer came out, I was even less excited for the movie.
Damn, take that, Tom Holland.
As I said, it just seems like they've got too much to cram into the story. And I feel like that's what Sony is good at. Is trying to cram too much of everything into one small thing.
They've let Sony have a bit too much of the cookie this time around, you reckon?
That's what the trailer feels like, at least, anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. So, the next bit of news, very exciting, not so much. The Mummy is coming out from the Universal Movie Cinematic Universe, Monster Movie Cinematic Universe. What's that going to be subtitled? Anyone know? Who knows? Who cares? Universal Pictures has come out with a new The Mummy trailer. Stars Tom Cruise in a very generic action role-y type film. What do you guys think? I'm going to jump in and go first, actually. I think this movie looks pretty awful. I love Tom Cruise. I'll pretty much see anything with him in it. But this movie as a whole looks very generic. I don't know what they're doing with the audio with Tom Cruise's scream that appears in every trailer in different fucking forms. But that needs to stop. His scream's going to become my next most hated thing, which is bloody generic pop songs being put into trailers.
Like this one.
His scream's going to come up in different trailers. It's going to be the new what's his name?
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm scream. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the next Wilhelm scream. It's Tom Cruise's scream. Yeah, the movie looks very generic. I don't really care about it. I don't think the universe is going to get off to a great start if they're going to put this in the front line. And something I was listening to today on another podcast was they were talking about the first poster came out for it and Tom Cruise wasn't on the front cover. Now, if you have a pretty big actor like Tom Cruise, you'd think they'd want to put him on the front cover of a poster, yet it's just the Mummy's eye. And I know it's a teaser poster, but we're not too far away from the film coming out. So, yeah. Anyway, what do you guys think?
I'm surprised they haven't shown anything with Russell Crowe yet.
They have. He was in the first trailer.
Oh, well, no, the second one. Like, you just don't get a feel of what he's actually going to. I know he's playing Dr. Jekyll, but...
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's playing Dr. Jekyll, yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of what he's actually going to be doing in the film, so I'm interested to see that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I agree with Tony on this one. I think that's I think this idea of a monster cinematic universe is, you know, they've done it before. It's literally like one of the first kind of... this idea of a cinematic universe before they stuck those words on it. Universe were doing this in the heyday, right? So this is nothing new in that regard. And I think the concepts and stuff are really cool. I just think this Mummy film looks super generic. So I think the Russell Crowe, Dr. Jekyll stuff and how they try and glue it all together, I think is definitely more interesting. But in this one, when they're showing shots of like cities being wiped out by sand and whatnot, I'm just done with the whole cities apocalyptic destruction kind of thing. So to me, that just seems kind of generic. The film just seems like the Brendan Fraser film, really. Like a cool action adventure film, just without the cool period setting. And also, I think they really could have just done a straight horror film in this thing rather than try and imitate the 99 Mummy. So it seems like a pretty bizarre move to go down this path. I'm curious to see how it plays out, and I would hate for this universe to kind of trip before it even... you know, starts running, but it's not looking good.
Draz, what do you think?
Okay, I have seen it. Well, I think it's good. I love all the Universal monsters, so for them to revamp the whole series, I wonder what's going to be next. Maybe Dracula, Wolfman. Starting off with the Mummy, yeah. I don't know, what would you have wanted apart from that? Personally, maybe a Wolfman? I don't know.
Well, they did actually start off with Dracula Untold, and that originally, if you read the news about it coming out, that was meant to be a part of the Universal movie monster fucking universe. Then I think once the movie came out, or maybe just before it came out, they pulled it from that lineup, and now it's not a part of that. And so that was just one generic film that kind of went down the poop shooter and became nothing.
Oh, snap.
So they did start off with Dracula, but now they've moved on to the Mummy, and yeah, I've obviously gone a very modern take on it.
Look, I reckon it's good that we've got Tom Cruise. I think he can't go wrong. And, you know, get good old Rusty Crowe in it as well. And, yeah, look, they got some good action-packed stars in there, man. I think it's going to be really good.
I feel like this movie would have been better if it was in the hands of not Alex Kurtzman, who's kind of directing his first big budget movie. Like, he's just, in my point of view, he's just retarded.
I agree with that. I wouldn't go the retarded route, but I don't know if it's a good idea giving such a prolific film to a novice director.
Who wrote Transformers?
He has written some okay films like
Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek and Transformers are both in their own rights pretty good. I mean, how else do you bloody turn around a giant robot movie that's set on Earth and is meant to have human characters? I don't think they did too bad of a job of it. And the first two Star Trek films, and I think he wrote part of the third one, mostly Simon Pegg did it. And they've been all pretty good. Even though number two was pretty much a ripoff of Wrath of Khan, but
he also had his writing partner, Roberto Orci, with him as well, so.
Well, I'm sure he's under the table doing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. Like, they have Tom Cruise, they have Russell Crowe. There must be something decent, at least about the script, that attracted, you know, actors of that caliber to it. So maybe they have a pretty good story here. Whatever they've been showing in the trailers hasn't really sold it to me. What do you guys think of the fact that, you know, it's a female mummy?
Whatever. I didn't think much of it. I don't care. Like, either way.
Doesn't really sell it. I mean, the actress is great. And she was great in Kingsman and
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. But I feel like in this, she's probably just going to be standing and glaring and probably opening her mouth a lot. So
yeah. And it doesn't seem too dissimilar to the lady in the Brendan Fraser ones who was trying to raise Imhotep.
She looks very similar, doesn't she?
I thought that was the same actress at parts of that.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to say anything about it?
Yeah, I think the last thing would be that I agree with Scoot. I wish they'd done something a little bit different with it, because it does really just seem like they're updating the Brendan Fraser ones. And so I feel like it's going to be a missed opportunity.
All right, so the new Mummy trailer, what do you guys think? Yes or no? I'm going to give the trailer and the movie a no. I'm not really excited about either of them. I am excited about Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe and the rest of the cast coming out to Sydney to the premiere, because if we don't get on that goddamn press junk for that, I might cry, because Tom Cruise, tippy top.
You heard it here first.
Jared, what do you think?
I'm going to be a no as well. I just don't think that this is going to come together.
Draz?
Look, I think it will come together. I think Tom Cruise is going to save it, as he always does. As long as they have a nice horror, you know, feel to it. Because at the moment, people are just saying it's fantasy action. You know, I want it to be horror action and just, you know, scare us a little bit. Keep us on the edge of the seat. So I think I'm going to say yes for this one.
Awesome. And what do you think, Scoot?
No for the trailer. I don't think it really sold it any more than everything that's come before it. But I'm cautiously optimistic about the film. I have a soft spot for Universal and the monsters. So I'm hoping for the best.
Awesome. So the next bit of news comes from the DC Universe. Joss Whedon could be potentially directing the new Batgirl movie. And with not much news coming out about it, we thought instead of talking about news articles, let's do a bit of cast this. And let's just assume that Batgirl this time around will be Barbara Gordon. Commissioner Gordon will be in the film. Maybe a little Batman, maybe a little Nightwing, Dick Grayson, and possibly some female villains. Let's go with Jared first to cast this.
See, at this point, it's kind of hard to think which name actress would actually take this on, because they're going to go after somebody well-known for this. I was thinking maybe Mila Kunis could do it. She'd add a nice bit of levity to it as well, I think. That's probably my pick. I'd like to see her in the spandex as well.
All right, what do you think about a Nightwing character? Who would you have as Nightwing?
Nightwing. See, I liked the casting of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so...
Someone along those lines.
In The Dark Knight Rises, so he would be my pick. Bring him back.
Fair enough.
Yeah, definitely bring him back. That'd be amazing.
Toby, who have you got, man?
I'm kind of hoping they go for an unknown actress.
Ooh.
It worked well in Logan, and I think that if you're going to do a Batgirl movie, you're going to assume that they may have Batman in there, mm-hmm. or some other A-list person to come in that can actually kind of drive the movie with the unknown actress. So that's what I'm hoping for. Only because it worked so well with Logan.
Okay, any other casting ideas you have for the movie?
It's actually a tough one, because I do like the idea of Mila Kunis, but for Batgirl, I don't know which character they're actually going to go for. Whether it's Barbara Gordon, or I think the other one is Cassandra Stone from the New 52. So it will just depend on which character they actually decide to do for Batgirl.
Fair enough. Draz, what do you think, man?
I think it's all about funding. So they need a big actress to play the role. It could be Jennifer Lawrence. She would definitely, straight away, the studios would be like, boom, okay, we'll give you the money. Emma Stone, she's coming off La La Land. You never know. Stranger things have happened. But I think maybe Jennifer Lawrence. I know she's done Mystique and a few other roles sort of in that type of realm. But you know, she could always cut her hair, dye it brown, or she could keep it blonde. And imagine her going up against Harley Quinn. Like, that'd be incredible.
I actually think, what's her name? Emma Watson?
Ooh, Emma Watson. But she's too short. She doesn't have that that action feel to her. You know, Beauty and the Beast, sure, and Harry Potter. But, yeah, I couldn't see her being Batgirl. She just seems too young and petite. And Jennifer Lawrence, man. You know, she could tackle down a big, burly villain.
You just want to be that big, burly villain, don't you, mate?
I don't think they could afford her.
Yeah, I agree with Jared. I don't think they could afford Jennifer Lawrence. But I think it's a good, I think it's a damn good choice. I think if they had all the money in the world, Jennifer Lawrence would be perfect for the role.
Yeah.
And it would be cool to see her work alongside Ben Affleck, two big heavy hitters in the current acting world. Scott, do you have any ideas?
Emma Stone was going to be my pick, but I will be shocked if this movie gets off the ground, to be totally honest. It seems like such a bizarre thing to be happening. Like, none of the A-list characters are hitting it. Why would they try a B-list? But anyway, I would say Emma Stone for the Batgirl, sure. And I like Miles Teller, so I'd give him a Nightwing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I wasn't even thinking that. He would be amazing, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he's awesome. I think he's totally wasted as Mr. Fantastic. So if he wants to don a superhero suit again, I think that would be pretty neat. But yeah, this is bizarre. Like, why would Joss Whedon do this? Like, what is interesting there for him?
The female characters and the fact that he can bring another universe together and actually have it in his own right. Whereas I think with Avengers, because it was, I feel like DC is different to Marvel. Marvel, their studio, they will hold they'll hold their characters very deep and make sure their movies are actually getting the way they think they should be made. Whereas DC, I feel like they're a little more loose and they're letting their characters go in any kind of direction the directors want them to do. And that's why I think Zack Snyder has a lot of more say than he possibly should, because Warner Brothers owns DC and Warner Brothers can just basically say, do whatever you want. We don't really care because we don't really know the characters because they're a friggin' corporation. And Marvel, they have their own studio. They have they own all the characters and they can basically just say, we want things to be this way. And then they'll hire a director that will listen to them. And I think Joss Whedon wasn't really listening to them when he did the Avengers and stuff like that. And now that he can head over to the DC universe and kind of do almost another Buffy universe with Batgirl, why wouldn't he? It makes perfect sense.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started with Buffy. He should just revamp Buffy for a limited series on Netflix. It will be absolutely amazing.
I wouldn't put it past them, man. I wouldn't put it past them. I don't think we're very far off from hearing that, to be honest with you, man.
But seriously, okay, other than people who read comic books, does anybody in the general public give a crap or either A, know who Batgirl is, or B, give a crap about this? Like,
Batgirl's very popular. Sorry.
I think it's super bizarre. Like, why would, I mean, Joss Whedon aside, right, but why would they even pursue this as a property? Like, it seems such an offshoot or, like, you know, Batman Jr. kind of thing that it is bizarre considering they can't hit any of the balls they've been throwing at them already.
Well, think of it this way. Every last big movie that's made a shit ton of money has been led by a female. You've got Star Wars, which is led by Rey, and you got Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot, she's a no-name before Wonder Woman, and now she is Wonder Woman. Everyone is seeing her as that, and she is going to be a fucking presence to reckon with. And I think you're underestimating Batgirl. Batgirl's very popular among women. She's a huge character at the moment. The New 52 is massive. It's one of the most highest selling comic books in the series of the New 52, and when it's going to be revamped very shortly with a new series, I think that's going to be huge too. And if you look at all those things, it makes perfect sense for there to be a new Batgirl movie. And she's killing, I don't know if you've seen Lego Batman, but spoilers, she's in that, and she's really good in that too, and I'm very interested in this movie, and I think it's going to do really well for them.
Should they introduce her though, maybe in Justice League somehow, like just something, so people sort of get a taste of Batgirl, okay, and then some people start thinking more about it instead of remembering Alicia Silverstone and going,
I would agree, they need to set it up. Take comic book readers aside, because they make up a very small of the overall audience. You need, like, general public does not know this kind of stuff, right? Yeah. So they need to be able to set it up or at least kind of explain who, why, where before kind of giving it a spin-off. Otherwise, they're going to have to go through a whole origin again.
Maybe she'll show up in the Batman whenever whenever that gets made.
Yeah, and that's a good spot, I think, because they don't have time to do it for Justice League.
They'll be throwing so much shit at the wall with Justice League that you can't wedge another character in there.
No. And there's also a few animated cartoons, even the ones DC Superhero Girls or whatever it's called, which is basically just all the female superheroes from the DC universe, which is really popular with the kids at the moment, especially girls 10 to 15, I guess. I don't know the demographic for that cartoon, but it's quite young. And so I think Batgirl makes perfect sense for me. I can't wait for it. I think it's a really good idea. And Joss Whedon in front of it, it's going to be unreal. For my casting wise...
Don't say Arnie.
Oh, man. It's time to freeze. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Sorry, that's my favorite line of all time. No, I would probably bring Kate Mara into the mix. Now, Scoot went Miles Teller from the Fantastic, or 410, what's it called? Fan4Stick. But yeah, I think Kate Mara could do a really good job. I think she's got the red hair for her, especially for Barbara Gordon. She could pull off an action role pretty well, I think. She's about the right age to stand against, you know, Ben Affleck's Batman. And, you know, for Nightwing, I don't think, it depends how old Nightwing is. If we're going Batman is in his 50s or is in his late 40s, then I think Nightwing should be at least in his 30s, and people I think could do a really good job of that. This is going to be a crazy one. I think Scott Atkins could do a really good job as Nightwing. He's probably a little bit too old, but I think his martial arts skills would be really cool to bring into a movie like this. But he's a bit of a no-name currently, I think. And then you've obviously got people who are already cast in it, Batman and Jim Gordon and stuff. But yeah, Joss Whedon, I think he's going to do a really good job of it. So that would be my casting.
One of the things I forgot to mention before is, are they going to actually have it a part of the DCEU?
Yes, definitely. Why wouldn't they? That'd be stupid if not.
I think having Batgirl a part of that universe is just not smart, because you can't make a Batgirl as dark as what Batman and Justice League and even Man of Steel was and expect your core audience, which is going to be, you know, young girls, going to go and see it.
Yeah, I agree with Toby on this. Every time you say Batgirl, I think of like the pink suit, like from either the 60s Batman or even the Lego Batman movie, right? I don't know how this fits in with the Zack Snyder universe.
Yeah, I think of Yvonne Craig as well from the 66 Batman. Like, I grew up on that. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's very kiddie. It doesn't have any, evil mystique like Harley Quinn.
Fair enough.
Harley Quinn. I don't know why they don't make a Joker film. You know, why aren't they making a Joker film? Why aren't they making a standalone Harley? This is what people
want. So they're doing something. David Ayer, the guy who did Suicide Squad, is making a film called Gotham City Sirens, which will be a spin-off around Harley Quinn and some other villains, I guess. Female villains.
Catwoman, Poison Ivy.
So that's kind of happening. I guess the Joker didn't really hit the notes that they wanted it to hit, or at least the audience reaction from Suicide Squad. So that's probably kind of put a halt on anything in that kind of space.
Has Jared Leto been pushed out now and they're going to recast it? Is any news on that?
Not that I've heard or I'm aware of.
I think the studio just screwed up the Joker.
I think DC listened to the fans and listened to some fan theories. They could get out of the Joker pretty easily. And I don't know if you've read, there's a theory at the moment, or when Batman v Superman came out, that the Joker was actually Jason Todd and not actually the normal Joker, and the normal Joker would yet to be revealed, or the original Joker would yet to be revealed. And if they went that route and listened to the fans, they could definitely do it, because everything kind of lines up for that to happen. And I thought it was actually going to be revealed that he was going to be Jason Todd. Because in the Batcave, he has that Robin suit and it says, "Joke's on you," or something along those lines. But it also has bullet holes in it. And the bullet holes match up with scars on the Joker's chest. And the character is very young. He, you know, obviously has a vendetta with Batman. And they could easily just switch that character and make him Jason Todd and make something really fucking interesting for the Batman.
Mm.
But, you know, that'd be a way out. And I think they should definitely do it.
I think that's DC's biggest problem. They're not setting up their characters, like, at all. They're just rushing everything.
And that's exactly why you say Marvel's, like, too protective. But they have set up their universe incredibly well and, like, to the T, right? Because they have that protectiveness about it. It may not ultimately be exciting for directors to work within that space, but they've got hit after hit and they've set themselves up pretty well, whereas DC's kind of a mess right now. And that's why it surprises me that someone, Joss Whedon's talent, is interested in playing in this universe, because it's kind of a pile of mud right now.
Maybe he likes the challenge.
Maybe, but Who knows? I would have thought he'd be more interested in doing original stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah, I reckon he could turn it around.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Marvel is doing anything wrong. I think their field of play is amazing and they definitely should stick to it. I was just saying that maybe that's why it's, you know, interesting to Joss Whedon. Anyway, let's move on from the DCU because we could talk for about 85 podcasts on what's wrong with that universe. Let's move on to my stupid theory of the week. They never really make sense. Who cares anyway? It's Ryan's crazy movie theory of the week. And that is not necessarily a theory, just something I would really love Universal to do. And that is, and I talked about it in my review for The Mummy. And if you haven't watched that, I'm going to bring it up now. And that is the possible chance that all the Universal monster movie universe could lead to a final film that would be the remake of Monster Squad.
Get out. Oh, my God. I've nearly fallen off my chair in excitement.
Wouldn't that be fucking awesome? You got Fred Decker and you got Shane Black, the original writers and director of Monster Squad, coming back into the limelight at the moment with, you know, they're doing the Predator film. Get Fred Decker back on board. Give him the chance to make one more Monster Squad movie, you know, straight out of the gate. It's already interesting. It's got a bunch of kids. It works well with what else is happening currently with movies. With, you know, Stranger Things was amazing. Now they're doing it with that similar sort of style of, you know, young kids going to, you know, take on a big bad. Do the same thing again, but make it young kids again taking on the monsters of the Universal Studios backlot tour and make something awesome. I'm fucking heavily invested in Monster Squad and I would love to see that happen.
It would be amazing. I think it'd be fantastic. It's a lot easier to make Monster Squad than the Goonies. We all want a Goonies 2, but making a Monster Squad after all these new movies come out, The Mummy, Wolfman, Dracula, whatever, finally finishing on Monster Squad, mate, that blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind.
Just you saying this though, here's a side theory. What if Predator is the sequel to Monster Squad and all the kids in the new Commandos are the kids from Monster Squad grown up chasing the ultimate intergalactic monster?
Oh, shit.
That was all of our minds imploding at once. Imagine that. Holy fuck, that would be amazing.
You know how Ryan loves the Predator theory.
I do love my Predator theories. Look, I'm all for it. So let's move on to the movie challenge, the most overwhelmingly exciting moment of this podcast for me, hence my sarcasm. Let's talk about week 13, which is musicals. I love myself a good musical. Anything that has songs in it, I'm probably going to see it. Even if it's a kid's film, I don't care. I love musicals. And so for this week, I saw the remake of Annie. And let me tell you something, not too bad. It was okay. It's very, you know, it's a very family-orientated film. It's got Jamie Foxx. It's got Rose Byrne. It's got Cameron Diaz. It's directed by Will Gluck. It is, you know, modernization of the 50s classic with the little redhead girl. In this case, it has, you know, most people of African-American descent. Now, that doesn't really come into much play of the movie. They're not like, oh my God, this person is of black race or anything like that. It's just a straight up remake of the original. It's pretty good. I highly recommend. If you have kids, if you don't have kids, you'll probably hate it. And that's my review of Annie. Jared, did you watch the movie challenge this week? What'd you watch?
I did. Unfortunately, I was excited about musicals and then I got a bit lazy and just went with the first thing that was on Netflix. So unfortunately, I watched the movie adaptation of the musical Rent.
Oh no. That's directed by Chris Columbus, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
how did he stoop so low?
It's god awful. The whole thing is just god awful. It's basically like, it's over 2 hours long and it's basically it's 2 hours of that.
Everyone has AIDS.
Yeah, that funny snippet from Team America. Everybody has AIDS, 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 AIDS. They literally say AIDS like 4,000 times during this movie.
It's terrible.
It's so heavy-handed. It's just, it's like beating you over the head with its message. Most of the songs suck. There's like maybe 3 songs that are decent, but most of them just have no end. So they're just like change scenes. And it's like vague rock opera type music, so it all sounds the same. I hated everything about it.
Scott, did you do a movie challenge this week?
Yeah. I watched Frank Oz's Little Shop of Horrors from 1986. Nice. I'd never seen this. I'd never seen the musical, seen anything. It's really cool. Like, The puppet, the Audrey 2 puppet is phenomenal. That was awesome. Steve Martin was great. Rick Moranis was great. I can't say the songs are like overly catchy or super memorable, but all in all, it was pretty fun. I had a good time with that.
Awesome. I haven't seen that the whole way through. I've definitely seen it because I remember seeing it as a kid, but I don't think I've seen it like in, you know, my adult years the whole way through. But have you heard about the alternate ending of that where everything goes pear-shaped?
Yeah, and that's what I really want to check out, the old dark ending that they ended up cutting and has finally made its way around on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that comes to the end of, because hang on, just double check, Draz and Toby, you haven't done the movie challenge this week.
I did.
Did you?
I did the movie challenge.
Yeah, I did as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I strangely watched Singing in the Rain, the Gene Kelly musical, because we were just, you know, flipping through Foxtel and there was something on Debbie Reynolds and then that popped up and I thought, yeah, I always like Singing in the Rain. So gave it a bit of a watch and yeah, it was good. Very good. It's always been good and I loved it.
Yeah, I like that one.
All right. Nice job. I'm surprised. Because you guys were new, you maybe wouldn't have watched the movie challenge. Toby, what did you watch then, man?
I lied.
Oh, you fucking liar. Everyone was so excited for your movie.
Draz said it, and I actually thought he was lying as well, but he actually watched something, so I had to keep saying I'm going with it.
Just say you watched Flashdance, okay?
I didn't watch Flashdance.
And that's not a musical.
No? Footloose?
Lies make baby Jesus cry, Draz.
Sorry.
All right, so that brings us to the end of the Movie Nerds Podcast, Episode 6. We're all part of So Is It Any Good, which is an awesome website you should definitely check out if you love movies, reviews, entertainment, nostalgic shit, just awesome stuff about movies. Definitely check us out. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We will go up every Thursday night, so you can download, you can comment, you can review, you can do whatever you want to do. We are everywhere. We're on iTunes. We're on Wooshka. Anywhere you can find podcasts, we'll be there waiting for you. To give you a little fizzle under the nizzle. I'm your host, Ryan.
I'm Draz.
I'm Jared.
I'm Scott.
I'm Toby.
And that is So Is It Any Good's Movie Nerds Podcast.